Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fun. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of 1 Peter and will be continuing today with part 2 of A Call to Seriousness. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift. According to Peter and according to Paul, each one of us have received gifts from the Lord. We've received a gift, perhaps. We've all received, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we've received the gift of eternal life. And included in the gift of eternal life is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we also receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit are to be used to minister to one another. And so, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. God has given us gifts in order that we can minister to each other. The word minister means to serve each other. And the idea, according to Peter and according to Paul also, is that the gifts are given for the edification of the body. The word edification means the building up of the body. So the Lord wants to build up the church. He wants to build up His body. He wants to build up the saints. He wants to make each and every one of us strong in the faith. And He builds us up by each of us sharing with one another the gifts that He's given to us. Those are the things that He uses to build us up, individually and collectively. So it's important that we use the gifts that God has given us. God has given me certain gifts, and I need to use those gifts, because those gifts can build others up. And God has given you gifts, and you need to use those gifts as well. You know, here's a wonderful truth. There isn't a single Christian who hasn't been gifted by God to do something. There isn't a single Christian who doesn't have a contribution to make to the body of Christ. You know, one of the things that we find in people is that there is sort of a built-in need to have a purpose or to be needed. That's just something that's somewhat common in people in general. You find sometimes with elderly people, you find that as long as they're needed or as long as they sense they have some sort of a purpose, they can just keep going and going and going, but suddenly take that purpose away from them and they collapse and they lose the will to live even. That's happened with people sometimes, you know, they retire, they think, all right, I'm going to settle down and relax, and yet they find they go into a depression, and they just feel like they've lost their purpose in life. And so they'll go out and do some volunteer work, and suddenly they're, you know, excited again. They've got a new sense of purpose. In the body of Christ, there's not a single person. There's not a single Christian who doesn't have a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have a contribution to make. And I think one of the reasons why people are frustrated in their Christian walk is because they're not fulfilling the purpose that God has for them. They're not really making the contribution that they ought to be making to the body of Christ. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a person recently, and the person has been a Christian for quite some time, but yet they just were in some senses sort of bored with their Christian life and just feeling like they needed to go out and do something else. And they were getting on a bit in age and feeling like they hadn't really accomplished much, and maybe they needed to go back and complete their education and then maybe get into something that would bring some self-fulfillment and all. And, you know, as I talked to this person, I couldn't help but feel that the real problem is that they're not fulfilling the purpose that God has for them in the context of the body of Christ. And so I simply asked them, are you serving the Lord in any way? Is there something that you're doing? Is there a contribution you're making to the church of Jesus Christ? And they said, well, no, not really. I come to church, I listen to the Bible studies, and I get up and I go home. Well, that's not what it's all about. Coming and listening to the Bible studies is part. It is not the sum total. It's not the end. I think sometimes we think that listening to the Bible being taught is the end of everything. This is it. No, this is a means to the end of serving God, knowing God better so we can serve Him more effectively. We're here teaching the Scriptures not so we can, you know, simply just gain more information, but we want to grow in our knowledge of the Lord so we can serve Him better, so we can fulfill more completely the purpose that He has for our lives. Understand this, know this. Each one has received a gift. And this is what we're to do. Having received the gift, we're to minister that gift to others as good stewards. As good stewards. Now, a steward, or stewardship is another word we find in the Scripture. The idea behind that word is managing. A steward in a household in biblical times was the manager over the master's goods. And Paul, he made an interesting statement in writing to the Corinthians. He said, it is required in a steward that he be found faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to take care of business for his master. And so we are called here stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given us something, and He wants us to manage it well. It's sort of like the parable that Jesus told about the man who went away temporarily, but he invested in his servants before he left. And he said, now do business until I come. And he gave them each an investment, and he expected them to take that investment and to do something with it in his absence. That's the idea here. The Lord has invested something in each of our lives, and now he expects us to take what he's invested, and he expects us to use it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. You know, Peter is saying here that the grace of God, the gifts of God, they are manifold. And it's important that we understand what he's talking about, because sometimes here's what can happen to us. We can think of a particular gift of God along just one certain sort of a line, and if there's any variation, we fail to recognize it as that gift. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Take for a moment the idea of an evangelist. Now, when I say the word evangelist, there are probably a couple of people that come to mind, or maybe a type of person that comes to mind. I think whenever the word evangelist is mentioned in evangelical circles in this country, at least, Billy Graham is always the first person that comes to mind, at least to my mind. I always think of Billy Graham in terms of an evangelist. I also think of Greg Laurie as an evangelist. And both of these men are certainly evangelists. But here's what I'm getting at. If we see the gift of an evangelist only as it's manifested in these two people, then I think we're going to limit what God might want to do, and we're going to actually limit our understanding of what an evangelist is, because it's much more manifold than that. And I can think of people who have never stood in a stadium and addressed a large number of people, but yet they are certainly evangelists. They are evangelists. One of them works with us here on our staff, and that's Gaylord, our assistant pastor. Gaylord is an evangelist, and I marvel at how God uses him wherever he goes to share the gospel with people. And, you know, I feel like in my life there has been also a gifting as an evangelist to some extent. But I look at myself and Gaylord, and there's a real difference between the way we would carry out that gift. And so when he talks here about the manifold grace of God, what we need to understand is that the gifts of God manifest themselves in a variety of ways in God's people. It's not always the same way. And if we understand that, then I think what it does is it frees us up to realize there might be gifts that I have that I didn't even realize I had, because I thought that that gift was just manifest like this. I thought that an evangelist was just a person who did large-scale ministry at stadiums. No, that's not only what an evangelist is. An evangelist is a person who shares with their colleagues at work, or, you know, strikes up a conversation with their neighbor, or goes out on vacation and runs into somebody and begins to share the Lord with them, or, you know, a person who just takes advantage of whatever opportunity that comes along to share Christ. That's a person who's gifted as an evangelist. And so the grace of God, and the word grace, these words sometimes are speaking of the grace of God in the sense of God's unmerited favor, but there's also the idea of the gifts of God wrapped up in the grace of God. And so of the manifold grace of God, the grace of God manifesting itself in a variety of ways through the gifts of God working in the lives of God's people. God has gifted you in some way, but maybe you've limited the exercise of that gift because you've sort of thought of it only in these kinds of terms. But no, there's a broader manifestation of it. We think of prophecy, perhaps, as, you know, someone standing up in the afterglow setting. Someone speaks up prophetically, perhaps, and says, "Thus saith the Lord," and begins to speak a word of encouragement to God's people. And so we think, okay, that's prophecy. There it is right there. And then we think, oh, but I don't have the gift of prophecy. Now, that is one manifestation of prophecy. But let me give you an example of another manifestation of prophecy. You're in conversation with a Christian brother or sister, and there's an issue in their life, and you're discussing it with them. And suddenly, as you're discussing it with them, you just sort of sense that God's giving you something to say to them, something to share with them. And you don't pause and say, "Hold on, I'm going to prophesy right now." You don't stop and say, "Thus saith the Lord." You just keep talking. But as you're talking, you're sensing that God's taking over as you're speaking. And as they're listening, they're sensing also, hey, God's speaking to me right now. You know what's happening there? That's the gift of prophecy in action. It's taking place like that. And you have the gift of prophecy, but you don't even know it. You didn't even think you had it because you went to that afterglow and you never had the "thus saith the Lord" thing happen to you. So no, I've never had any of the gifts, you might say. But see, that's because of our limited view of how they're manifested. And Peter here reminds us of the manifold grace of God. So here's what we need to remember, that each and every one of us has received a gift from God. Now, how do we know what that gift is? Well, I think that one of the ways that we begin to discover what it is by being sensitive to the way God leads us and the opportunities He brings to us. And what we sort of feel inclined to. You know, someone with a gift of encouragement, they just sort of naturally end up encouraging people. But it's not merely natural, it's a supernatural thing going on. But it seems natural in the sense that you're not trying to make something happen necessarily. You're not, okay, I've got a minister now, a gift of God. But it's just happening. You have an inclination toward it. And as you look at the different gifts of God, what you would see in a person who is gifted in a variety of ways is they just have an inclination in this direction, and it's just something that they do. That's a good way to begin to sense what it is that God has gifted you to do. You know, sometimes you don't even realize it yourself. Somebody might come along and say, you know, boy, I think God has given you the gift of the word of wisdom. You think, wow, really? Well, why do you think that? Well, you know, every time we have conversation, it just seems like as I've got things on my mind and I've been praying and I've been seeking counsel from the Lord, you know, in a conversation, it just seems like God always uses you to speak to me, and I walk away just feeling like that's the answer. See, you might not have even known what was happening, but they sort of inform you. You've got the word of wisdom, my friend. The Spirit of God is operating in your life because wisdom is imparted to me when I talk with you. There are those who are just inclined toward ministering in the sense of serving. He says down here in verse 11, if anyone ministers. You know, there are people who, I mean, we're all called to be servants, right? Let's face it. And none of us can escape that. But there are people who, there's something above and beyond just the call to be a servant. This is just what they're inclined to do. They're just there to help out. They're just there to make themselves available. And there's nothing ostentatious about it. There's nothing like, the servant is here, you know. It's just they're there. They're just serving. And it's just what they're inclined to do. They just feel God's calling them to do it. And you never even know they're there. They're just in the background, happily going about their ministry. It's a blessed thing for those who profit from their ministry. So we've each received a gift, and we need to minister it to one another. And let me say this, of course, in order to minister the gift to others, we've got to be with other believers. And so fellowship is sort of indirectly emphasized here, because the gifts happen among God's people. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So those who have been gifted by God with the speaking gift, the prophecy, the proclamation of God's word, this is an encouragement to them to speak as the oracles of God, not with timidity, not being afraid, but the encouragement here is to be bold and to recognize. And you know, this is a verse that has challenged me over the years. I think naturally I'm a bit timid. And I found myself in situations at times, even as a servant of God and as His representative, where I want to retreat into my timidity. But yet I'm called upon to stand up and speak the word of God. And God will remind me, stand up and boldly proclaim it. Don't be shy. Don't let your timidity affect you here. Speak as an oracle of God. Speak as my mouthpiece. Understand and believe that when you're speaking on my behalf, and I'm speaking through you. That's what He's encouraging those with the speaking gifts to do. And so for those who minister, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Listen, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the point of the gifts. The point of the gifts is to build up the body of Christ and to glorify God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that tells us a little bit more about the gift. The gift is never to glorify the person who's exercising it. There's something in us as human beings where we want approval. That's a natural thing. It's great after you've done some sort of service to hear somebody say, "Hey, good job." That's a good feeling. And yet, that can't be the thing that motivates us. That can't be the reason why we're interested in the gift. So I can hear people say, "Hey, good job." So people can pat me on the back and tell me what a great guy I am. Glorify me. Talk about how much I impacted their life or something like that. That's all fine when people do something like that. But if I am thriving on that and living for that, then I've got a problem, because the purpose, beside building up the body, is so that God is glorified through Jesus Christ. That's what the gifts are to do. This gives us a little bit of a warning as well. And I think, again, sort of an indirect admonition to watch out for glory coming to men. And to recognize that when glory is coming to men, something's amiss. Because that's not what it's all about. There are ministries today that the emphasis is on the man. Everybody's talking about that man and brother so-and-so and all that gifting and, oh, he's powerful. That's not really what's supposed to be happening. We're all just servants, unprofitable servants, according to Jesus. When we've done everything that we were commanded to do, we're just to simply say, "I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done nothing more than what it was my duty to do." It's not to, you know, put my name up in lights and say, "Oh, the ministry of this man, powerful ministry." But many have fallen to that temptation, and men are receiving the glory, but the gifts are to glorify God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The dominion and the glory belong to Jesus, and he has gifted each of us, not so that we could glorify ourselves through his gifts, but that he could glorify himself through working in and through our lives. It's all to be done to his glory. And I encourage you to seek the Lord. And if you don't know what that gift is yet, and I might add gifts, plural. God gives more than one gift sometimes. He gives a plurality of gifts. But ask the Lord to show you what your gift is. Remember that the gift is exercised in the context of the body of Christ. And so put yourself in a place where you can exercise the gifts of God. And remember the entire context of these statements, similar to when Paul spoke about the gifts, is in the context of love, fervent love. Some people are exercising the gift, but the love of Christ isn't there. And that's not right. And remember how Paul put it, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I've just become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. If I prophesy and if I have great faith so that I could move mountains, and if I would give my body to be burned, if I give everything for the poor but not really have love, it profits me nothing." And so the gifts, coupled with the fervent love, make for God being glorified in our midst. And that's what the Lord is wanting to see. That's what he's wanting to accomplish. And so people come into our midst and they sense the love of God and they experience the gifts of God. And as Paul said, they confess, falling upon their face, that God is among you. And they want to know the God that we know. And so God has given each one of us gifts. Seek him. Ask him. to show you and look for what your inclination is. And in that, you will probably begin to discover what gift or gifts God has given you.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Peter in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Suffering for Righteousness' Sake. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled A Call to Seriousness. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3050. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.